hearts pant for you tonight, Lord. We call upon your name, for you have given us so many promises. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said also that where two or three are gathered, you are here in the midst. And we acknowledge you tonight. We praise you that you are the great I am. And we know that there is nothing that is too difficult for thee. And so, Father, we ask that tonight, Lord, as you are here, Lord, that you would minister to us. You would speak to us. You would not only encourage us, but deliver us from everything that would separate us from you. We want to walk with you, Lord. You've given a promise to the church that you said that after those days, saith the Lord, that I will walk in them and I will talk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. We say, Lord, we want to be your people. And we thank you, Lord, that you are with us and you're with us to do us good. So we bless you tonight. And we pray that your blessing would fall upon each and every one of us tonight as we are together. And Lord, we pray, break the bread amongst us tonight. Amen. Speak to us. Lord, speak to us. Lord, I pray you help me, Lord, to speak what is in your heart. Hallelujah. For Lord, it is your desire to speak to your people. It's your desire to strengthen us and to equip us for the hour that is before us. We just want to tell you tonight that we love you. God, we worship you. We are so thankful. For without you, Lord, we are nothing. God, what could we do without you, God? We could do nothing at all. But we thank you that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you for your presence, for your blood, for your Holy Spirit and your anointing. We just give you thanks tonight. For all things, in Jesus' name. All things. Even things that don't seem too good, Father. We want to thank you because we know you're in control. Hallelujah. Though the devil comes to buffet us, yea, Lord, you are with us to do us good. And that you, the things that were meant for evil, you turn for our good. So, Father, we pray tonight that you give us an understanding heart. Lord, a place of understanding the will and the plan and the purpose of God that is working in each of our lives to bring us to a place of union with you. Hallelujah. And that you can be our all in all as we yield to the presence of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I always remember the testimony that George Mueller had. The story, I think many of you heard, the time that he was on a steamship going across to America. And he was supposed to be at an appointed time. And there was great fog and... And the captain of the ship, he went up, and he told the ship captain, he says, Captain, I need to be in Quebec by this Saturday. And he thought, who's this lunatic? They're in the somewhere in the midst of the Atlantic, and this huge fog was there. And he continued to press him. He says, well, Captain, come, let's go down and let us pray together. And he thought, well, there's no way. He told him, there's no way it can happen. And they went down to pray. But one thing that he spoke to the captain was, he said, you know, he says, they went down to pray. And George Mueller prayed the most simple prayer that you could be. And as the captain went to speak, he says, no, you don't have to pray. He says, first, God's already done what I asked, because he says, I have walked with the Lord. I don't know how many years did he say, 56 years, 57, and not one day has failed that I have not failed to be in the presence of the Lord. And he says, so don't pray, because I already have. And he says, get up, Captain. He says, go out and look. for the fog is gone. He opened the door, the fog was gone, and George Mueller was in Quebec that following Saturday. Hallelujah. The thing that God wants to speak to us is that He is with us always, whether good or bad. You know, God's presence does not depend on our emotions. Thank God for that, right? I mean, you know, if you hills and downs, what if we had served a God that left every time we were down or every time we were up? You know, God says He's with us always. We have to believe it. And there is a place that as we believe, it is a place that moves God. That's the thing that moves God, is that of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I've come up here tonight because I want to share some things with you. And first of all, I want to share with you a dream that I received the first night that we came down here to Texas. In fact, it was December 25th. We drove down on Saturday. Sue had to work Friday night, and so we couldn't begin our journey until Saturday morning. And we got down here, I believe it was about 10:15 or 10:30. So we missed the first day of the meetings. And it was sort of funny. I hadn't had a dream for several weeks. You know, I start to feel like, oh, God, have you left me? Come on. Do any of you ever feel that way? Sometimes, where are you, Lord? You know, and of course you always ask God, am I doing something wrong? Because you're always asking God, you know, God, am I pleasing in your sight? But, you know, sometimes it's not dependent that God gives something as an individual as He gives to a people. And I believe that this dream, and I asked Josiah to put it up because I'd like us to read it. And I'd like to go over it a little bit because there's certain things the Lord spoke to me on it. And when I woke up from having this dream, I knew it was for this conference. And so let me read it, and then we can go forth with a little bit. I titled it The 300,000 Army Dream. Amen. And in this dream, I found myself along with four other men. We were being called to be part of a 300,000 army that were to defend their country. We were standing in a very large glass enclosure that had metal framework. We were in something similar to basic training. A staff sergeant was before us, and he was instructing us in how to assemble a rectangular frame that was to be used as an offensive weapon similar to a rocket launcher. The staff sergeant said it was a three-step process, and then he demonstrated it for us. At the bottom of the rectangular frame, on the left, he put out a metal leg and then proceeded to do the same on the right side. These two were like legs to hold up the frame. Thirdly, and most importantly, was a spike attached to, well, the bottom of the frame, which was then put into the ground to secure the rectangular frame. Excuse me. With that, I saw that there were fellow soldiers that were now starting to scale the glass enclosure by the metal frames with the intention to climb to the top. I mean, it was bigger than the roof of this ceiling. And when I say, if you could imagine something that was totally of glass, but there were like square frames that the glass was held together, but on the inside, the soldiers were able to grasp hold of the frames and were able to climb to the very top. I then saw, as it were, two manuals that were given to us to learn. One was, when I say one was the color of the red, the outside of the manual was red, and the second manual was the color of blue. And that was the dream that I had. Hallelujah. So I want to first draw. Let's see. Are these new? They're new ones. Okay, good. First of all, when I had the dream and I saw the frame, that's exactly what it was. It was a rectangular frame, just like this. Nothing else. All right? As the staff sergeant was instructing, I saw that there was a leg here and a leg here. And then he would put the leg out so that the frame could stand up. Sort of like this. I was noticing this today. You see this frame? Actually, it's sort of rectangular, right? But you would see this thing would never stand up except for the legs on the bottom. All right? Now, another interesting thing was, as I saw that, I saw this. It was just like a circle there with a clasp and something similar to that. And he said, thirdly and most importantly, once the legs came out, all right, once they came out like this to stand it up, the third important thing was to adhere it to the ground, all right, so that this thing swung out and I saw it come down securing it, all right. It's one thing to be able to set it there, but it's another thing to secure it. Amen? No amens?
Amen.
Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. What would you take from this? What would you say that would remind you of? The tabernacle, right? Amen. Well, I'm going to draw it here because we're used to seeing it sort of in this position. All right. Or you can also see it in this position that way, too, as well. And, you know, it's very interesting. As I said, when I saw it, I knew that it was to be as an offensive weapon. Amen? Now, in the scheme of military warfare, you have defensive fighting and you have offensive fighting. Amen? Amen? And so, in the dream, it specifically spoke, this is going to be used as an offensive weapon. Now, if we know in the dream, I shared this with several people, it's some of the brethren conferred, and some of the things I want to say, I'm not saying I have all the interpretation of the dream, but, you know, some of it's pretty self-explanatory, that if indeed what God was showing this as being the tabernacle, we also must know that the tabernacle is represented, one, it's a picture of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
All right, I'm glad someone said amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, good. Two, it's a picture of the church. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, good. All right. Three, it's a picture of you as the temple of God.
Amen.
All right. As the temple of God. Praise the Lord. We see it as three dimensions. We see here that we also know when we look at it as a church, that the church is comprised of three sections, the outer court, the holy place, and the holiest of all. We also know that as we see it as a type, we also see it as body. We could put up here, right? Body. Help me. Soul and spirit. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, 300,000 army. And what it was impressed upon you, God, that was being assembled was a 300,000 man army. And that's just not in the neutral or in the natural gender of just men. Amen? But we know God is putting together an army. Now, 300 is what? What is 300 symbolic of?
Gideon's
army. What's that also?
Overcomers.
Overcomers. What was also the length of the ark? Noah's ark. It was 300 cubits long. And also we know that the tabernacle is 100, 200, 250, 300 cubits, right? Amen? All right. So 300 is speaking about the overcomers. Now what's 300,000? The fullness. So God has a Gideon's army, but he also has a Gideon army in its fullness. Amen? And I believe, this is what I believe, that God brought the dream to us that are gathered here, and to everyone that will hear this word or is hearing the word of the kingdom of God, God is calling each one of us to that 300,000 man army. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Could we be in agreement to that?
Amen.
Okay, good. Hallelujah. It's a sort of a pretty neat army, isn't it? It's not a Nigerian army. It's not an American army. It's not a Czech army. But it's God's army. Amen? In fact, we sing that song. God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. This army I have a part. Hallelujah. Warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Yes, they are mighty. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in the Holy Ghost. So 300,000 army, and we're called to it. You know, I've been feeling it this week as the Spirit of God has been moving, as God has been instructing and teaching. You're talking about Esther's, talking about Daniel's being risen up in this hour. Gideon's, I heard that prophecy. Let's see, to you, Isaiah. Hallelujah. God is raising up an army. But you know, you just don't become a fighting army overnight, do you? Because the dream says that we were first called to it, but now we're in something called basic training. Amen? And, you know, there was a staff sergeant there, and it's sort of funny, there were four other men. What's number four symbolic of?
There were four with you.
Four with me. Okay. But the way I counted them was four, so I'll take the grace. And we'll take the ministry, but we'll also have to take the tribulation, right? Praise the Lord. To come into that first fruit company is not going to be a way of easiness. Amen? We have to fight it. Wade was sharing tonight, he was sharing his heart, how he had to fight with things as he came down here. I mean, how many of you have to fight thoughts as you come into a conference? You know, where do those thoughts come from? You think they just come from you? No. The devil is there. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before the Lord day and night. Hallelujah. And he accuses us of one another. So we have to discern the spirit of God from the accuser of the brethren and cast him out. Cast him out. You know, it has to be a proactive action on our part. Amen? So here we are, and we're brought to basic training. I would say this is basic training. Wouldn't you? Basic training. You must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. You know, the church is in such a disarray in this hour. When I say the church, I'm talking about what everybody calls the church system. But even when you talk about the true church, and I've talked about it before, that the true church is everyone that has come into this place of the tabernacle through a born-again experience. Because when you become born again, you receive the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? You which were once dead in sins and trespasses, it says, and you hath he quickened. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians. You, which were once dead in sin and trespasses, our souls were dead until Jesus Christ came to us, right? He comes to us first, doesn't he? Says, no man comes to the Father except for what? First, he draws him. All right? Amen. So, when we come to God and receive the revelation that we are sinners and we're in need of being saved, that the life of God comes through the blood of Jesus Christ to make himself real to us. Huh? Is that blood of Jesus dead or is it living? It's alive. The blood of Jesus is alive and it comes and it speaks. Just like Abel's blood says, Abel's blood spoke of better things. Hallelujah. So we come into a born-again experience by receiving salvation by faith, and we receive the blood, and we come through the gate, which again, what were there, four gates for tribulation? Huh? And when we came into this place, we became part of the true church of God. Hallelujah. You know, there are many, many of our brethren out there. And there's many and many different types of denominations. People that love Jesus. And they're part of us. Because they're our brothers because of the same blood. But the church today is in a very bad way. Because one, why? We're approaching midnight hour. Two, the Word of God speaks about it in the book of Revelation that the last church age is going to be the Laodicean church age. And that church age thinks it has everything when it has nothing. Hallelujah. Or you can liken that the church also includes the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Hallelujah. And so this picture of the church, it's of our understanding to get within us basic training. Amen. Hallelujah. It's important to pray. You ever meet people, a lot of people say they know Jesus and they don't know him. Now sometimes you know, who am I to say, you know the Lord or you know the Lord? You understand? But sometimes God gives us a discernment that some people that think they know God, that they don't, and you have to pray that God would help you, especially if you're interacting with them, to continue to minister to them to that point to where they will realize that they are in need of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that? I remember a young lady who really felt that she was born again when she was 5 years old. We met her at work at the post office, and she had a smattering of things growing up in her life, and she was involved in certain New Age, but you know, the last thing is tell somebody, no, you aren't born again. You understand? You sort of lay it aside. And you just keep ministering the Lord. You keep ministering the Lord. And the person kept being more open and more open to God. And so one day, she came to our home, and we were praying, we were ministering with her. And we said, okay, how about, would you want to rededicate your life to the Lord? And she says, yes, I would like to rededicate my life to the Lord. And then so we led her into the sinner's prayer, and she became born again. And 2 weeks later, she came up and she said, you know, after a lot of thought, I really wasn't born again when I was five. God spoke to her, you know. You let God do whatever he needs to do, but the individual was open, wanting God. And as you hear from heaven or you move into that vein so that you're constantly working with the Spirit of God. See, that's a key, brethren, that we need to learn in basic training is following the Spirit of God. And I'm trying to see how I'm going here because, now remember, as we're in basic training, we're learning something. What did the staff sergeant say? You need to put down one leg. You need to put down the other. And then to do the third. Well, if in the dream you're speaking of two legs to make this structure stand upright, what would we say that would be in the realm of the Word of God? What is the Word? The Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah. One, the Spirit, and two is the Word. You see, the problem with the church today is there are so many doctrines, so many false things in the midst of all the midst of the denominations that a lot of people that are born again really don't know the true doctrine of God. See, that's the condition of the church. They are so easily to follow one thing or another. Amen. Okay, well, let's take this verse. We know there's a certain segment of the church that believes just in the Word and doesn't believe in the Spirit. Isn't that true? If you would go to certain churches of denominations or believe that there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit, that when you became born again, you got all the works. But as far as the Holy Spirit working with the manifestation of the gifts and speaking in tongues, that was all done away with 2,000 years ago. Isn't that true? Many people do that. And if they come across you and you say you believe them, they don't want nothing to do with you because it doesn't fit into their framework. Now, people can believe what they want to believe. Churches can believe what they want to believe. But what do you think is more important? Having your own doctrine or hearing the doctrine of God? Amen? And the doctrine of God in this hour is revealed through the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we're just beginning to break the surface that many people don't understand the truths that are being delivered to the church in these last days. And when I say last days, we're talking that there has been revelation that has been coming to the church, especially since the Latter-day movement, the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit. But God is also bringing revelation upon revelation as far as the truth that is in the Word of God, and that we must also walk by Spirit and by Word. Amen. What do we have in the tabernacle that speaks of the need of the Spirit and the Word?
Board.
Would be the boards and the sockets. The sockets. Well, the boards. Okay. Actually had two legs, and the sockets, and they were called sockets because they had the I want to make sure that they fit in where they're supposed to fit in. Okay. All right, well, that's pretty close. How's that? Not bad? Okay. So we see here, it's not enough just to be born again. Amen? Because once we're born again, there should be a hunger and a thirst for God that you begin to hunger for something more than the blood. Even though that the blood, that the life is in the blood, is what made you and I alive. Amen? Come on now. I encourage myself that way because I always think back to the days when I was first born again and what the blood of Jesus Christ did to me. I mean, you talk about God. God was speaking to me in His blood. I didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit till early August, but on June 27th, God was speaking to me. He was speaking, His blood was speaking because it had now touched my soul, made it alive, and that blood made me hunger for God. I couldn't get enough of Him. We started to read His Word, didn't we, honey? We started to... Our brother that led us to the Lord brought us two Bibles, and we started to read the Word. And I'm telling you, the power that is in the Word, that as we read the Word, because it's the living presence of God, began to feed us, energize us. So the blood was bringing us life. The Word was bringing us energy. And it's kept giving us an insatiable, is that right? Insatiable hunger for the Word of God. And the more we kept reading, the more blessed we were because The Word of God. What, you know, we have to fight lethargicness in reading the Word, you know. Because the entrance of Thy Word bringeth light. Hallelujah. The more we give ourselves to the Word and feed upon the Word of God, light enters into our soul to push out the darkness. Hallelujah. And so we become born again. We start getting hungry. And then we started hearing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we heard about people that didn't believe in it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Back in 1980, used to drive a truck and had a radio. That was before they had Walkman. And we didn't have any. We just had a radio. And I turned to the... Well, now I got excited because I want to listen to Christian radio. Before I was born again, no desire for that. Hallelujah. But began to turn on it. And we had a denomination, a Baptist denomination. And different denominations of a certain sect believe different things. Some are more harder than others. And I always remember they had this little thing on the Christian radio station that says, "Oh yeah, come to our church on Sunday. We're anti-tongues. We're anti-gifts. Come on, you're going to have a good time." I thought, whoa, good time? So when we were young, we were hearing all sorts of things. Now, that was done away with 2,000 years ago. Used to listen to J. Vernon McGee. Yeah. And, you know, he was a good teacher in the Word. But one day I'm sitting listening, and then all of a sudden he says, "You know, and they did this and this." He goes, "But that was all done away with. The apostles were done away with. The gifts were done away with." You know? And I thought, well, I found out that doesn't fit in the time span that I know. But then began to be hearing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I did not know what actually to believe. Because we were young looking in the Lord. You're talking about 6 weeks after being saved. And I went up, and I remember going up into my bedroom. And I would go up there and pray and talk to the Lord. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I says, some people say that there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some say there's a baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of tongues." I says, "I don't know, but I do know this, Lord, that if you have the Holy Spirit, I want it." And I began to pray and I began to sing, and the Holy Spirit fell upon me. Hallelujah. And I also found that it's not a formula to get the Holy Spirit. You know what's the key to receiving the Holy Spirit? Is you being open up to God. You open up God and you just want it in simple faith, you're going to get it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So these things in the outer court, born again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, water baptism. I mean, these are foundational things, right? And they're powerful things. Don't ever let anybody go, "Oh, those are foundational things." Oh, I'm telling you what, brethren, there's enough power at that brazen altar. My goodness. There's enough at the brazen laver. I'm talking, you know, the power of God just in the faith, in water baptism, in our covenant with God. I mean, we're still going over it every time, aren't we? We come to God and we start to repent. Where do you think we're at? Brazen altar. We're not here repenting. We're here. And the brazen laver, to what it meant to die the old man, and God covenanting with us to go all the way. This is basic training to us. These are things God wants to get rooted down into our being, because, you know, there's coming an hour. Hallelujah. We're going to be coming into places, sort of like Aquila and Priscilla. They come into a meeting and there is a follow-up. A great orator, a guy who believed in God, and he began to minister, and they sensed it. They discerned that the man had a calling and election of a life. And after the meeting, it says they took him aside, and what did they do? It says they taught Apollos the way more perfectly. Hallelujah. You see, brethren, there is such a job awaiting for the people of God. Think of it. Let me just bring it to you. I'm sharing it to you as it comes to me. Revelation chapter 12. The first true company. What is their job? Is it to become filled with the Spirit of God and to go up into heaven? No. It says that they went into the wilderness where the woman church was hid, and they fed that woman church for 3.5 years. Hallelujah. People are going to want to hear this truth, this reality. Hallelujah. And, you know, we're talking a basic training here. God is instructing us in the way of righteousness. And you young people, you'll have the power as you believe in what is being given to you and what is imparted in your life. You have the ability to minister as anybody else in this room. All you have to do is just, as you're plugged into the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. How many of you read the devotion that came today? That sort of propelled me today to get up. If you can look up at the Sunlight Devotional for today, it talked, Brother Duciel, the topic was no slackness in the church. Isn't that interesting? No slackness in the church. But he began to also to speak in that devotional. He talked about the apostolic vision, the apostolic word, and how it has been delivered. And he says, without that apostolic word, the church is lost. Hallelujah. And he began to speak about the bar that runs through the whole holy place and the holiest of all. Hallelujah. And it keeps everything upright and correct. Wood covered over with gold. Wood, symbolic of humanity. Gold, symbolic of the nature of God. We are yet human, right? But we're pressing on for perfection. I want to be covered with gold. I want to be covered with gold when I speak, when I fail at times. Sometimes I get too jokey. Hallelujah. God says moderation in all things. I think God's been speaking that this week, hasn't he? Huh? A few amens?
Amen.
I'm being convicted by the word that's coming forth. Hallelujah. So, all right, look again. This tabernacle, it's a picture of the church, but it's you as the temple of God. So, if you are the temple as we see here, we need the Spirit and we need the Word. Not just the Word. You're incomplete with just the Word. And if you just move by the Spirit, the devil can deceive you with another spirit unless you couple it with the Word of God. As what was taught me many, many years ago, the Word never goes against the Spirit, and the Spirit never goes against the Word of God. Hallelujah. I found a scripture verse. If we could turn to Isaiah 59. I want to read this to you. Because we know in Zechariah, concerning the Spirit of Word and the Word, it says in the book of Zechariah, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. But if we go into Isaiah, we see here not only the Spirit and the Word, because it's in 59. Okay, and we're going to start in... We could start in verse 19. It says, it's Isaiah 59. If you haven't gotten there yet, Isaiah 59, verse 19. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from the transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them. God is saying, as for me, God, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in my mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Look at this as a promise here. Out of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Wow, isn't that a wonderful promise, Brother Bert? How many of us are grandparents here? Raise your hands. You know, we're praying for our children. We're praying for our grandchildren. Here's another promise we can put. God is giving us of His Spirit and His Word. And He's saying here, I put it in your mouth and it shall not depart not only out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed seed. Hallelujah. Brother Uwak, your children, this is a covenant for your children. Hallelujah. What He's done with you, with your wife, He's putting that same Word and that Spirit in them. Hallelujah. He's putting it in all of us here today, brethren. Hallelujah. His Spirit and His Word. Why? Because we're destined to be part. Brother Martin was speaking today about the body of Christ. That's another thing. Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Basic training. Brazen laver is representative of baptisms. Water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of churches do believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit along with water baptism. But how many churches do you know believe in the baptism into Christ? I have not met too many. Very little. Hallelujah. It's like putting together a puzzle and all this part's gone. How are you going to see the complete picture? But when God, through the apostolic word, comes to reveal His truths to us in this hour. Some people go, oh, you're just crazy. You're just a little group. I think it was spoken. God doesn't look in numbers. Doesn't matter. God just looks into the heart. Huh? When you read into the New Testament, there wasn't a lot of people in that New Testament. And even then, when Paul taught, a lot of them moved away from him. Hallelujah. But Paul began to speak the truth that even the revelations were hard for some of the other apostles to understand. Who is this Apostle Paul? He knew he wasn't with Jesus like we were. But Peter wrote, he wrote it in the Epistle Peter. He says, and Paul, some of the things he wrote are hard to understand. What's that? And some were wrestling to their own destruction. Hallelujah. So, the baptism to Christ. As Brother Martin was ministering that this morning, this is what God is doing. He's bringing us to be part of the body of Christ. We can be born again. We could have the blood. I could have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and still not be part of His body. Hallelujah. And I have seen men who heard the word in the end time struggle with that teaching. That simplicity. I saw men that were great in Greek and Hebrew. And when it came to that, they stumbled. Oh, you mean I don't understand it. The church is the body of Christ and the body of Christ is the church. No. No. The body of Christ is part of the church, but not all the church is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Do you know there are many of us here that have had such a wonderful opportunity to be trained for many, many years in the apostolic word. And trained over and over and over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the over and over and over and over. Why? I wanted to get it down deep where. All right, we're men. We're women, right? What do we have that keeps us upright? Right. Would we be standing without our legs? Huh? Would we be able to stand and stay standing without feet? Huh? No. Same way with this. I believe that God is giving us specific instructions. And first of all, a marvelous instruction that He says, you're part of the tabernacle of God. You are a temple. Am I right? I'm saying it to you, Brother Way. Are you a temple of the Holy Ghost? Brother Mark? Amen. All right, are you believing it because I'm saying it? Yeah. Why? The word says it, doesn't it? Where does it say it? Corinthians. Paul writes, no, do you not know that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're a temple, Judy. Young ladies, right here, you're temples. You're the habitation for the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And think of it this way, too, as we're thinking about it. You, right here, Spirit and Word, standing uprightly, amen? Standing uprightly, you become a habitation for the Lord. And remember what the dream said? He says, it is an offensive weapon. Hallelujah. And what country are we guarding? Texas? Texas isn't a country. No, we've been assimilated. We are strangers and pilgrims. So where's our country? The kingdom of heaven. Huh? And it says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. So we're fighting to get to enter into the kingdom and also to come out of this thing. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Basic training. Basic training. I've been in basic training for 36 years. Hallelujah. How many years you've been in basic training? Huh? We're still learning, aren't we? Hallelujah. Always learning. Anytime that we think we've learned enough, we go back to square one. Huh? What does it say to think to him that thinks he knows something, he really knows nothing at all? It says in God, the way up is the way down, right? Huh? It says, to him will I look, to him who is of a broken and a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. To this man will I look to. So we're looking here. Oh, I'm speaking a little bit. I want to speak a little bit about this place. The holy place, the holiest of all. Because when we talk of baptism into the body of Christ, we're talking about being immersed into Christ. All right? We did it naturally in water, right? Where we buried the old man and rose up. And it also is symbolic of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. But now the Spirit of God wants to lead us into Christ. Hallelujah. Just as when the Spirit came upon Jesus, what does the Word say happened? It says that the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, seeking the face of God. Hallelujah. Young people, you need to fast and pray if you want to be part of the kingdom of God. There's something wonderful when we fast and pray. And it's good to fast and pray a lot when you're young, because you have the strength to be able to do it. Huh? You get older, your body isn't so quick to run a 40-day fast, or a 20-day fast, or a 14-day fast. Right, Craig? Craig's sort of smiling there. I think he knows that. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, when the Spirit of God... Now, you have to be careful. Don't get religious. Don't get religious in the fact, well, you know, I'm going to do this or that. You know, there's a way in knowing the Spirit of God and knowing when the burden is upon you to fast, and also to know the burden when God says it's time to be released. Hallelujah. You see, everything comes not only by His Word, but by His Spirit. Amen? That's how we get to know the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Is by walking in obedience to the Spirit. So, this baptism into Christ, if you don't understand it, anybody in this room, if you don't understand it, ask questions. Seek the Lord. Let people explain what it is, this baptism into Christ. It is a place to where we come into obedience to the headship of Christ. Now think of it this way. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I can still decide what I want to do. So does that mean I'm obeying God? No. God could say to me, go over here. No, I don't want to go. I'm going to go over here. Then I'm not obeying the Spirit of God. How can God make me part of His body if I'm not willing to obey the body, or obey the head being part of the body? I need to walk in obedience to the Spirit. As you have the Holy Spirit, the more you obey the Holy Spirit, the more God is assimilating you into this holy place, becoming part of the structure which is representative of the boards, amen, that you become part of His body. Not individually, but together. And it's very interesting, because when we look at an individual board, what is it? It's 1.5 cubits in width. That means it's incomplete of 3, right? Amen? So I don't think if I'm just 1.5 doing my own thing, I don't think I'm going to equivalent to be 3 or be part of that 300,000 army. But if I submit to God, submit to one would that I allow the nature of God to cover me over, that as I am in obedience to His Spirit and His Word, He plants me into this sanctuary, and I am connected, not standing by myself, but with other boards, one next to another. And not only connected to the boards, but most importantly, being in, you could say, union with the ministry God has placed in the earth for the perfecting of the church, because it is the apostolic bar runs the complete length here of the holy place and the holiest of all. And then you have the four other bars that are half length, which comprise then of all of the fivefold ministry. But again, I want to stress, there's so much we could go into, but I want to stress to you today that God has delivered to His people in this hour an apostolic word, an apostolic vision that's going to carry the church through the tribulation and through the 3.5 years that is designated for the 144,000 or the first fruit company. Hallelujah. And all these things are teaching us things. You understand? The legs to keep us steady as we walk. The Spirit and the Word. Amen? And that we are the temple of the living God. You know, if we could break through our humanity. I mean, we still have not reached to total perfection. God, we just got to keep asking God. God, deliver me of man. Deliver me of this human nature, you know, however it wants to dictate in me something that is contrary to God's plan to complete me. Amen? Huh? Now, I see a lot of young families here with young children. You don't want your children to stay young forever, do you? I mean, they're cute when they're little, right? But they're not cute if they stay little for 30, 40 years. Huh? You expect them to grow. You expect them to learn. You expect them to grow up and to walk in maturity. That is what God is calling us to. Amen? Now, it's an interesting thing when I was thinking about this third little piece. You know, you have your legs. And then I saw it, and the staff sergeant says, and most importantly, put it down. You know, secure it to the ground. What could that mean? Come on. What? Ha, thank you. Very good, Brother Bert. It says, where is that? In Ephesians? He said, rooted and grounded in love. Where's that at? Is it Ephesians? Okay. Does anybody know the scripture verse? Let's read it. Ephesians. Ephesians 3:17. Okay. Ephesians 3:17. Let's start in 14 though, okay? It says here, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That what? Christ. Did you hear that? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It wasn't salvation. Christ, the anointing, the place of being assimilated into His body, being rooted and grounded. It says, being rooted and grounded in love. Hallelujah. Paul also writes in Ephesians, says how we're to stand in the evil day, doing all to stand. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a place that if you are rooted, I think we sing that song, being What is that one? Uprooted from the ground. Well, that's an opposite one. We want to be rooted and grounded in love, right? Well, I stand corrected. Okay. But anyway, it says here that you being rooted and grounded in love, comma, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Oh my goodness. What? What is the breadth? What's the breadth? Is that a cross?
Yes.
Be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length. Hallelujah. The depth. Okay. Where is that? And the height. The depth and the height. So what would we say here? How would we say that as far as the tabernacle?
Four dimensions.
Praise the Lord. That you would have the revelation and understanding what God is saying in this hour. I'm telling you, brethren, I believe in the presence of God here this week that He is giving specific instructions to the church and He is calling a people together. Don't look at like your past. Don't look at, well, you know, I don't seem to fit here or there or whatever. That's the traditional lie of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you go and read, it really, if you have that devotional, if you don't have it, ask someone to send it to you. Brother Duccio was speaking in the devotional today, some of the very things that we're speaking in this conference. He talked about ministry. And he says, you know, not everybody is designed to get up and to minister a word. He said, but everybody is being called to minister. He says, whatever it is, if you were a government that helps or whatever, whatever God has called you to do, do. Do it with all your heart. Amen?
Amen.
All right, a couple of events. It's helpful if I hear a lot of amens. Yes, Brother Mark.
Another thing about this third, whatever you call it, that roots you to the ground.
Yes.
So that you're not blown away by every wind of doctrine.
Very good. Yeah, that's in Ephesians 2, isn't it? By the sleight of men.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about that God has placed in the church the fivefold ministry. You know, we've been taught in the apostolic word about what fivefold ministry is. And the endowment of it, it's for the perfecting of the church. If you don't believe it, I believe that you don't believe the word of God. And you won't thereby be perfected. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking about lifting up men. I'm talking about the endowment that is given through the ministry. And not only beyond, because there is a fivefold ministry that God gives as a gift to the church, but God also has fivefold ministry working in each fellowship and gathering. The gift of evangelism, the gift of teaching. Hallelujah. There is an operation of the Spirit that we could move in and not be so designated that you're called to go over all the world and to preach. But there is an operation that God is calling us to, which is part of the body of Christ. That's why God says whatever He has placed in the church, walk in obedience to it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so another thought that came to me about the adhering to the ground. Do you remember what Jesus says that He likened the parable about building the house upon a rock? Huh? A firm foundation. Hallelujah. Because, you know, if you have, it says that the storms came to not only to the house that was built upon the rock, but also to the house that was built upon the sand. Storms came to each of them. But because that house was not built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, it couldn't stand. And that's why it's important for you to, what does it say about your calling, make your calling and election sure. Because you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested, young people. You're older people, you're going to be tested. And sometimes in a way you don't think you're going to be tested, you're going to be tested. But the fact is that if you are with God, if you are secure in the Word of God, if you are walking in obedience, that God will not allow you to fail as long as you are planted upon the solid rock.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. None of us want to be really tested to the max sometimes, but we are. And all it takes is just, you know, the devil likes to do whatever he can if he can knock us off of our game. knock us off of our, I should say, off of our walk. Huh? Our walk. Where's our walk? Into the holiest of all. Hallelujah. There's another place that talked of an anchor, which says in Hebrews, of the anchor in the holiest of all. That's our destination. That's where we need to be planted on. Huh? Or that song, Higher Ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sing that because I know I'm not there yet. I want to go up. I want to go up. Huh? What does it say? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every way. If God wouldn't show us the land of promise, we'd be people without hope. But we start to worship God and heavens open up to us. There's our brother who walked. And everything else grows strangely dim when we're before the presence of the Lord. Why? Because He's securing us. He's raising us up. He's solidifying our relationship with Him so that when we are walking in the midst, maybe we're not in fellowship, we're doing our job, or Monday or Tuesday, and the enemy comes in like a flood, if we hold on to God, He will not let us go. Huh? As we read before, it says that when the enemy comes in like a flood. You ever think what a flood is like? I mean, people, you know, we read down here in Texas of the rains last year, and people would drive in a car with this much water thinking, well, it's safe. You don't know the power of a flood. That thing would take cars in 2 or 3 feet, or someone walking in 2 feet. Well, I can get across, whoosh, and they're gone. Hallelujah. And it seems at times that the devil comes in like that type of a flood. But God will never let us go. If we hold on to Him, amen, grab on to something firm, it's Christ. Amen. He will not let us go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Physical, we could have physical problems. We could have things where a spirit could come into our midst. And if we have to be secure. God will not allow you to be deceived if you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I really believe this is from God. I really do, brethren. I believe that God wants to secure us for the time that lies before us. We thought we've had troubles up to now. Guess what's coming ahead of us? I'm sorry, that's what the Bible says. It's midnight. It's not daylight yet, but you know, the marvelous thing, guess what's coming at midnight? Jesus. Hallelujah. And the marvelous thing is that he's coming for those who wait and love His appearing. I want to be part of the five wise virgins. It means I can get oil with inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw that there were fellow soldiers that were scaling the glass enclosure by the metal frames with the intention to climb to the top. Hallelujah. God does not limit us, brethren. We limit ourselves. Amen. Let me just say, Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a Bible. And they said there were 144,000, right? But guess what? They believe in a natural 144,000. And all the poor people that believe and are deceived by that have no hope. Oh, so they're going to live in a millennium, and they show little pictures of animals walking and everything. Oh, they could be part of that. No part of truth. No part of being part of God's army. Hallelujah. But God has also, through the apostolic word, taught us that 144,000 isn't a natural number. It's a spiritual number. Hallelujah. And that every one of us who has ears to hear. Do you hear what I'm saying, brethren? Huh? If you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, He's calling you to be part of that first fruit company. Whether you are this young lady's age back here, little Lisi, how old are you? Are you seven? 7 years old? Huh? I won't say who's the oldest here. But from the youngest to the oldest, and I think we got some younger ones than her, God is calling us to be part of that first fruit company. And He's equipping us. That's the marvelous thing. We're in all basic training together. We have been in it. We've been being given this. Let's be more diligent with what we have been given. Let us realize that what we've been given is like a precious jewels. Huh? It's like we have in a little pouch with precious jewels. Huh? With the doctrine of God. Not the doctrine of man. Not the doctrine of Bible schools that think, well, what they know about God, and they're way off. And it's like what the Lord said. He says to the Pharisees, the blind are leading the blind, and they're both falling into the ditch. Hallelujah. And that's what's happening. But God has a promise, because He says, I have a remnant for every generation. Hallelujah. But there is a generation, the remnant of the generation when the return of Christ is, will be when God comes first within His people. Hallelujah. Do we believe it?
Amen.
Do we believe in the secret coming of Christ? I do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it speaks of it in the tabernacle. Brethren, I wish I could say what I feel. The words can't come to me, but I do want to say, this dream speaks so specific. Here is what you are. You're the embodiment of the temple of God. And in that temple is not just the Holy Spirit, but all of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is within the temple. Knowledge, understanding, truth. Hallelujah. And the truth is that as Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free. Free from religious bondage. Free from deception. Hallelujah. Not that we know everything yet, because we're growing yet in wisdom and stature daily. Amen?
Amen.
And here's another thing. Okay, climbing to the top. Hallelujah. I want to scale the utmost heights. I want to scale the utmost heights. I want to catch a gleam, a glory bright. The revelation of God like Moses had. Moses' relationship with God. And what did God say? He was called the friend of God.
Amen.
Did you ever study out friends in the Word of God? It's one thing to be a servant. It's another thing to be a friend. God said that He called Abraham a friend of God. Why? Because he believed God. He was in communion with Him. I think that we are being given such a great opportunity, each and every one of us, to walk in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. To know Him. As Paul says, to know Him. And to know what? The power of His resurrection. Huh? Being made conformable unto His death. Are we willing? Are we willing? Some of us may have to pay the cost. It says in Revelation, some of them, the Spirit said, some of you are going to be tried, you're going to be thrown in prison, and you're going to be martyrs. Huh? Some of us might have to give up physical death. We have to come to that reality. We have to be willing in order for us to be part of the first fruit company. We don't know. Some may. Some of us may not be. I don't know. But you know what? God will test us to see if we are worthy to have that martyr's crown. That crown of righteousness. Amen? Let's go to this last paragraph. I then, as it were, saw two manuals that were given to us to learn. One was the color of red, and one was the color of blue. Now, I think it's very self-explanatory what this manual of red is symbolic of. What would we say? The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, it's another interesting thing. What's that, Brother Bird? I'm sorry.
The power
of the blood. There's something about the blood that even many people in the outer court don't understand. That the blood and was given to us many years ago, it not only brings us salvation, but we know by the Word of God that the blood of Christ brings healing. Right? It says that by His stripes we are healed. But do you know what? The blood is also an offensive weapon. It has the power to send every devil and demon to flight. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you, I remember back in the 80s, we were under pretty heavy persecution at the post office. Boy, and I God allowed it to train us. And I remember as a carrier, there was one man in particular that just, he would just harass us terribly. And for a season, he would come back. Now, let me just picture to you the Dubuque Post Office back in the, probably it was the late 80s. Yeah, I think it was the late 80s. You had a room about the size of this room, wouldn't you say, Mark and Wade? And you had 60 mail carriers, 60 mail carriers and 60 mail cases. And when I say cases, they would be about this tall. You would have a front like this, and then you'd have a side on each side, and that would be your route that you would get the mail ready for the day. And so you would have stacked up a case here, and next was a case, and it'd go down 10 rolls, and then you would turn around, and you would have a walkway similar to like this in order to get the mail through, and then you would have the other rows. So you'd have the cases, and so the backs of one carriers would be facing the back of others, but everybody talked all the time. And everybody heard the conversations that everybody did in probably a fourth of that section of the room. And while a number of us, Brother Wade and Brother Mark can attest, we weren't liked too much because the devil stirred up a number of people against the Christians. And some were worse than others. And this one particular man, he came back and he would swear, he mocked Christians, and he'd walk back every day. He'd walk down that row. You know, he'd punch in at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he'd make that walk, 5 after 7. And he'd come back, and he'd walk all the way back to where my case was. And he'd go there, and I'm just throwing my mail, and I'm hearing the mocking and everything, you know. And every day he would do it. And I'm going to tell you something. When the devil's behind it, if you're not grounded as you should be, you start to get sort of fearful of the spirits. I mean, they're stirred up, you know. And so one day I'm listening to a message that Brother Duciel was talking about the power in the blood, that you can use that power to rebuke the spirits. And I thought, you know, I'm tired of these spirits coming back every day, just like Goliath, you know, taunting. You know? And so I remember I was back, Wade and Mark, in the coolers. You know, those little doorways when you went in from the back of the docking area into the post office. And I remember standing there and I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I believe in your word. I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I call upon the name of Jesus Christ. I call upon the blood of Jesus Christ and rebuke every spirit. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And I remember praying that. And so the next day, the man comes in. And he's walking down. And doing the same thing. And he gets all the way down. But you know what? He doesn't come all the way down. He stops within about 10 feet of my case. And then he walks back. Second day, does the same thing. Doing it again. Comes within 20 feet and stops. Says his thing, turns around. And after that day, he never did it again. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you have the power through the blood, that these spirits don't have a right to bring me into a place of fear and captivity if I believe in the power of the blood. God wants to instruct us how to use it. Why do you think Brother Duciel taught us time and time and time again and told us all of the stories of his encounters that he had with the devil? You remember that one where he was caught up in the room, God showed him, and it jumped on him, and God says it's not a natural battle, and he just relaxed, and he started to think about the blood of Jesus Christ, and he saw the blood. Where did it come from? Was it his hand or his feet? But he said, the one drop, and he said, thank you, Lord, the one blood has set all the demons to flight. And he says that immediately that spirit that was upon him, holding him down, was rebuked and sent to the abyss. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He dealt one time, we were there in India, it was the second drop of blood. Thank you. The first drop, and this. Go ahead. Okay.
The second drop was the one that hit him right in the face.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He had another encounter while we were in India. We woke up the next morning. He told us about how he fought with that Kali spirit all night long. But again, he had victory over that spirit that had never encountered a man before that used the power of the blood to send him to flight. Hallelujah. So, Emmanuel read, God is wanting to teach us how to effectively use the blood of Jesus Christ. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Second manual, blue. Sonship. Sonship. That little old song Sister Mavis taught us back in the 80s. Do you know who you are? Have you seen with my eyes? Have you heard what I said in my word? Do you know who you are? Number one, John chapter 1. And to those who believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. So we're called to be sons, but now we have to grow. That's why manuals are given to us. Instruction. Amen? So that we could come into a place, as it says in Romans 8, it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're not led by the Spirit until you come into a baptism of the Holy Spirit and obedience to the Holy Spirit in here that brings you into a place of maturity. Hallelujah. Now, we may all not have graduated yet. Probably all of us haven't graduated yet. I know I'm still in need of those two manuals. How about you? Okay? But there's a lot of you that aren't in first and second grade anymore. Huh? There's some of you are in high school. Some of you are in the college of higher spiritual understanding. But you haven't graduated yet, but you certainly can use whatever has been given you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can use it now. And you can grow more in maturity. Some of you young people have been sitting on the Word. I look at some of these young ladies have been, what are they, 16 or 17 years old? They've been sitting on the Word for 11 years. Hallelujah. There is a depth or an understanding that a child, what does it say in Isaiah? A child shall lead them. Hallelujah. Don't look at age. Just obey the Spirit of God. Take hold, brethren. I'm closing with this. Take hold of your manuals. First, know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Get rooted and grounded in God. Hallelujah. Take upon you the manuals and know. And it was said here, I think Brother Martin, you had shared it. The presence of God, it's not that we get pushed out. The presence of God in us pushes out the darkness. We become that offensive weapon against the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So let God speak to you what it is He wants to still do training in you. Take hold of your manuals. Learn of God. Huh? To as many... it says, I'm trying to think of the scripture verse. It talks about sonship, that he was the firstborn among many brethren. Brethren, we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but this we appear, we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Amen. Well, God bless you.
George, the reference you mentioned about the anchor to the soul.
Yes, Hebrews 6, is it?
Verse 6 and verse 19.
Or do you want to read it, Jim?
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in within the veil.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight.
I think it's very, very good to confirm a message. There is a song that says, "I will be ready, Lord. I will be ready, Lord." At the midnight hour, is that right? I will be ready, Lord.
Yes.
I think we should complement the message with our position of confirmation concerning it and how it has touched us, and make this declaration: I will be ready. And of course, that means you really have to work at it. But the fact of the matter is, it's the want to. It's the want to. It's the want to. There's a lot of want to's for a lot of other different things. What is it that we want as far as God is concerned?
Amen.
Why don't we sing that one? Praise the Lord. And I'll ask you all to stand up. You've been sitting a long time. I need some musicians. At the midnight hour, when the cry is made at the midnight hour, I will be ready, Lord. Put the I in there first, please. I can't talk for you.